Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with all of you today for our Asbury family that has joined us here in the sanctuary and for our Asbury family that is joining us today online. We hope that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Dee Dee Roberts. She will be bringing today's message. As we begin our time of worship together, please stand as you are able for the call to worship. The bread of life opens our eyes. The risen one shows us his scars. Peace be with you. Please remain standing as we sing our first hymn, Christ is Alive. It is found on page 318 of your hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 5. Brothers and sisters, please join me for the prayer of illumination. It is in your bulletin. Let's speak this prayer together. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word and let us hear what you are saying. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Acts. We are going to be in chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 19. Hear now the word of God. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Holy One, As the risen Christ opened the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures and to give them power through the Holy Spirit to walk boldly in this world, we ask that you would open your people today to the healing wisdom, faith, and life given to us in your word. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, as Christ showed his wounded hands and feet to terrified apostles, reveal to your church and to the people of prayer in every faith the wounds of our neighbors, the fears of individuals and families, and the avenues of healing. Lord, in your mercy, author of life, we beg you for peace among nations, peace throughout our communities, and peace within families. We hardly know how to pray because we have lost count of the number of citizens, neighbors, friends, family members who have lost their lives this year through mass shootings alone. The pandemic continues to claim the lives of those we love. And we are at a loss for words over the violence and polemics of our own communities. Guide our leaders. Teach diplomacy. And let our ways be formed so that all creatures, plants, and people may have plenty, not only of food, but of love. Lord, in your mercy, light in our darkness, let your brightness burn in places shrouded in violence. Reveal the pains that are hidden in secret. Unveil the needs of our own hearts so that we may know the power of vulnerability and may trust evermore in your Son, who was raised to life even from the grave. Show us again that life comes from death, and help us not to be afraid. Lord, in your mercy, healer of our every ill, we pray for all who are in need, for refugees, those displaced by storms, for rescue workers and medical teams, for first responders, and those who have had their workplace turned upside down and inside out. We pray for all this day who are bone weary from worry and stress and facing the unknown. And we give you thanks for those who show us the power of community, for they offer hope to the frightened. They offer a place of refuge to those who are in need. So we pray for all who have asked for our prayers. And we lift to you the concerns of our hearts, some of which we could speak aloud, and others that remain as sighs too deep for words. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God, hear us as we pray the prayer our Lord taught us, as we join our hearts in one and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you, as you are able, to stand for the reading of the gospel. And just as they were telling about it, that is, those two guests from Emmaus talking about their encounter with the risen Christ, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there in the midst of them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. They stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Amen. Well, a few days ago, a friend of mine and I were sharing together the angst of preaching in the midst of pandemic and polemic and all the problems that were facing us in society and in our churches. As we were talking, she said to me, "I just want my congregation to understand that no matter what we face, God already has a plan for us. We can get through anything and even rise above it if we depend on the power of God in Jesus Christ." Well, after she said that, it seemed like the conversation was pretty much over. Have you ever been in that situation where someone says something so profound that there's a comfortable silence that settles in? And we sat there for a few moments before I felt led to look her in the eye and say, "It sounds like you found your sermon, Judy." "No," she smiled, "my sermon just found me." Well, here we are in Easter, the season of the church year that begins on Resurrection Day and continues for 50 days. Now, I get it. I totally get it. The bunnies and the jelly beans and the baskets have all disappeared from the stores and our homes. Most of us have put the rabbits away for the year, but it is still Easter. 50 days that the church sets aside so that we can ponder and think about and ruminate and contemplate what it means to worship a Savior who died, rose again, and still appears to his disciples. Throughout these 50 days, we do like we did this morning. We share together those accounts of Jesus's appearances. Now, have you ever wondered why they're called appearances and not sightings? I think it has something to do with the fact that we have no control over when or where or how Jesus will make an appearance among us. Sightings makes it sound as if we could create that opportunity, as if we could make it happen if we just looked hard enough. But somehow in these 50 days of Easter, as we're coming to terms with what it means to worship this risen Savior, we also have to come to terms with the radical freedom God has that is completely beyond our control. You see, we can't manipulate God by our behavior or by the words we say into loving us. God simply does. Easter has to be an ongoing reality in our lives. As that old hymn reminds us, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. That kind of power and victory does change everything. And so we read these stories, and we try to wrap our head around the truth. The truth that was stated so well by Peter in our Acts passages and by Jesus himself today as he appeared to his friends in the Gospel of Luke. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Death has lost the tournament. We are free. But it was a hard-won victory. And so we come back to it again and again, just as the risen Christ comes back to us time and again, till we get it. Or better yet, till it gets us. Once, there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I'm running away." And his mother said, "Well, if you run away, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "Well, if you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on a high mountain way above you." "If you become a rock on a high mountain way above me," said his mother, "I will be a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus hidden in a garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener, and I will find you." "If you are a gardener," said the little bunny, "and find me, I will be a bird, and I will fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will be a sailboat, and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind and blow me," said the little bunny, "I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze." "If you go flying on a flying trapeze," said his mother, "I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you." "If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the little bunny, "I will become a boy, and I will run into a house." "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the little bunny, "I might as well stay here where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny.
I wondered, after that conversation with my friend, about my sermon. What would it be? Well, I already had decided that I was going to try to preach from the gospel and this wonderful book by Margaret Wise Brown. And then it was so simple that indeed I do have one sermon that caught me a very long time ago. It was when Jesus Christ revealed his love for me, an unconditional, uncontrollable, unending love that took me just as I was, but loved me enough not to let me stay as I was. A love through which I experienced the forgiveness of my sin. A love that filled me with a voice and a vision that I never thought I had. A love that sent me out to tell the good news. In Jesus Christ, the scriptures were revealed to me, and I understood. I understood that the love of God is far deeper and wider than I will ever comprehend. That the love of God is more personal and intimate than I will ever experience fully. And the love of God is more powerful and transformative than I could bear at any one moment. That's my sermon. That Christ is with us and never leaves us, no matter how far we try to run, no matter where our rebellion takes us, no matter where the lies we tell ourselves force us to go, God will be there with us. And not only there waiting for us, but they're seeking us out, calling us home with arms open wide, ready to embrace us. Shucks, my friends. Why do any of us try to run in the first place? When what God wants to give us is the very thing we need most. It is true that most of us will require a lifetime to understand this. Some of us will need an experience of that love where we feel assured and we sense God's presence. Others of us will need to study and make sense of it, while still others of us won't know it or fully understand it until we get involved in serving others. And isn't that great wisdom on God's part, that he pulls us all together, the feelers and the doers and the thinkers, and calls us a church and says to us, your sins are forgiven. Go out and tell the good news, beginning in Jerusalem and the world over. What is your one sermon? What has grasped you so about God that you have to tell others? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand with me and let us affirm our faith together using our creed as printed in our bulletin this morning? This is the good news which we have received and in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Our hymn to close our worship today is number 128, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
and a blessing to be in worship with you today. We thank you for being here. For those online, we thank you for joining us. Along the sides of the sanctuary here, you will see a series of crosses that are hanging. Those are the crosses that were created by this year's confirmation class. We hope that you will join us in celebrating them here on May 16th during this 11 o'clock sanctuary service as they stand before the church and confirm their faith as their own. It will truly be a special day. Speaking of special days, 1 week from today, we have our next Stone Soup mission. So we will meet at 1:30 at Quapaw Quarter UMC down on Louisiana Street downtown. If you've never had a chance to participate in that, God will bless you just as much as he uses you to bless others. So we hope you can join us. Receive now this closing benediction, which is in our bulletin. We will say it together. The Lord bless you and keep you, shine upon you with mercy, and give you what is needed for each new day.
Peace be with you.
And also with you. Go in peace, my friends.